Today we'd like to see the title of Revive Us Again in Psalms chapter 84 up to 87. To the souls on this online world through podcast or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in chapter 84, verse 2, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. What does it mean in the context? And what can we learn from here? Question 2, chapter 86, verse 2. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servants who trust in you. Explain it with the verses of 15, 16 in the context. And what can we learn from here? Chapter 87, verse 2. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. What does it mean in the context, and how can we apply it to our lives? The Psalms were written by Asaph. Dan means himself, his descendants, or the music team in the name of Asaph. Except the Psalm, chapter 86, the author of David in last time in Psalm 83:17-18, let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the most high of all the earth. The psalmist prayed for God's blowing out all surrounding enemies. Sometimes we must be humbled by adversity before we can have the ultimate victory. The name of God, our God Jehovah, let them know that He is the most high of all the earth. 84, number 1. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. Lovely is amiable. Tabernacle is a dwelling place. The Ark of the Covenant was in the tabernacle. In the Old Testament time, the place which the Ark of the Covenant was located was a reference to the presence of God. It's a foreshadow of the heavenly dwelling place. Verse 2 and question 1. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the counts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. The body, mind, and soul, the three parts of a person, are integrated in one-to-one unit. I am a spirit. I dwell in a body, and I possess consciousness, mind, or emotion. Any drinkers or food can't satisfy you, and any emotional experience can't satisfy you, because you are thirsty again. But living water was the supreme lead to spiritual life and the fellowship with God. The living water comes first, fulfillment in you is satisfaction more, and it overflows to others and to God. And so agape love, the fruit of the Spirit, overflows to neighbors and to God. That is love your neighbor as yourself, and the love of God mostly, or cross-reference right here. Then, verse 3, even the sparrow had found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Those little creatures were hanging around the courts of the Lord all the time. Verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. The psalmist longed to meet God inside the holy tabernacle, his dwelling place, because the Ark of Covenant was there. 5-6, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage, as they press through the valley of Baca. They make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. Baca means weeping. When you know that you are weak and fragile, you are not relying upon yourself, then you are relying upon God, whose strength rests upon you. So God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. Through the difficult places of life, God's strength is upon them. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. The blessed man whose strength is in the Lord turns the weeping or sorrowful areas of life into a place of refreshment, a well, pools in those dry places. How good it is to know God's strength. Then, verse 9, 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give your ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Verse 9, O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. Asaph was praying for the king who had been anointed. Verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. My heart and my life was in harmony and within accord of God, such as in God's court, other than any place else, and the doorkeepers, the house of God, rather than any disobedient place. Verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield, the Lord will give grace and glory, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. When we work uprightly before the Lord and work with the Lord, God will not hold anything back that will help us serve him. Verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Whosoever just put the trust in the Lord is blessed. Chapter 85, verse 1, Lord, you have been favorable to your law. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. It's thanksgiving to God probably for bringing people back from their Babylonian captivity. Verse 2, you have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. Despite the prophet's constant warnings, they did not repent, and thus they did go into captivity. Now they had the acknowledgement that God had forgiven their iniquity and covered their sin. 34, you have taken away also. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God, over our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. God's wrath, anger, has been upon all ungodliness and unrighteousness from Old Testament time and New Testament time. Thus, we should the more earnest heed to the things we have heard in the whole scripture. That cross-reference right there. Verse 5. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Even if they returned to Jerusalem from their captivity, it was a mess and really bad. They were discouraged and demoralized, not amounting to a complete restoration yet. Verse 6, will you not divide us again, that your people may rejoice in you? The revival is always the sense of bringing new life to us. Every life was not enough, new life yet. Lord, are we going to have to endure this kind of hardship from now on? So it's the plea for God to turn again in blessing upon his people. Verse 7, show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. The psalmist is asking the Lord to revive and to bring back to spiritual life. Through his mercy, salvation from messed and demoralized life. God can pour out the Spirit upon us, overflowing the agape love, the fruit of the Spirit to others and to God, renewing agape love for neighbors and for God. Verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. The psalmist heard of God's answer in heart. We pray so many issues before the Lord, but we never wait around to hear the answer. It's important to wait to see what God's going to say, like this psalmist. God's word to us is always peace, because God wants peace with you. God has provided a basis for peace with you through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, followed by resurrection. God speaks peace with them, not turn again to the folly that brought them to the place of judgment of God upon the nation. Verse 9. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Those who fear God in awe or with reverence are near to salvation. Confession to God that you are a sinner before the Lord Jesus, who was dead on the cross and was raised from death, is near to your salvation upon your belief in that Lord Jesus in your heart. Verse 10, mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed. It's sort of prophecy here, mercy, truth, righteousness, peace, all together met in the person of Jesus. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. The truth is Jesus, whom scriptures testify of. You can come to the righteous God peacefully, not in wrath upon unrighteousness, only through Jesus who paid your deadly sin with his blood. Justice or righteousness demands the penalty be exacted for the sin. Mercy is the forgiveness for the sin. So I can have a peace with God through Jesus Christ. I can be righteous before God through Jesus Christ. Cross reference right there. 11:30. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. This psalm ends with the confidence there will be revival, the restoration. It's a glorious psalm. Chapter 86, verse 1. Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. David made this psalm in his earlier time of difficulty, before sitting actually on throne, under Saul and others' threats on his life. Verse 2, preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God, Savior, servant who trusts in you. David's prayer first was on the basis of what David deserves. I am poor and needy, holy. I cry to you daily, and I lift up my soul to you. But David was getting worse. David's prayer letter in verses 15-16 was changed to the basis of what God deserves from the basis of what he deserves. Lord, you are full of compassion. You are gracious. You are long-suffering. You are full of mercy and truth. Then David was getting better because the Lord works through David's weakness. Here, we should learn we can apply it to our lives. 3. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul over your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. In our trouble, difficulty, or pain, which might be so great, our conviction that God answers our prayer will sustain us, like Jeremiah, in the fellowship with the true and living God. It's the most glorious thing in the world, God's word in the answer against the biggest lie of Satan. Verse 8, among the gods there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All human created deities are merely inventions of the mind, not living beings. The Lord alone is worthy to receive glory, honor, and power by all creatures. Verse 9, all nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. God wants to be glorified by more than just the nation of Israel, every tongue and every creature. Verse 11, teach it. 10, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Give me undivided heart or undivided loyalty to him. One of the biggest problems is divided heart today. There is a warfare that goes on within us. The flesh is against spirit, the spirit is against the flesh, and to our contrary to each other. 12-13. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depth of a Sheol. I acknowledge, 13, O God, the proud has risen against me, and the mob of violent men have sought my life and have not set you before them. I acknowledge the fact about the rich man and Lazarus. I deserve the lowest hell, But thank God that he had delivered my soul from the lowest hell through Jesus Christ upon faith. Cross reference here. 15:16, see verse 2. But you, O Lord, announced what God deserves. A God full of compassion and glorious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth, O turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save sons of your maid servant. 17. Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. You are my help, my comfort, and my strength. Let them see it, Lord. Last chapter 87. His foundation is in the holy mountains. It's the psalm to devote the city of God, Jerusalem. They are the holy mountains, Mount Zion, Moriah Mount, Mount of Olive. That city in the Holy Jerusalem is a foreshadowing of the New Jerusalem that will be coming down from God out of heaven. Cross reference here. 23. The Lord loves the gate of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God, Salah. The city of Jerusalem was God's preference for the place of the Ark of Covenant to rest as a reference to God's presence. God has chosen to place his name in Jerusalem by his word. The Mount Zion is typical of the holy mountains in Jerusalem. So Zion, Jerusalem, and the temple represent the future community of all believers, all whose names written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be given the honor of living there. Verse 4, I will make mention Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. Behold, I Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there. Rahab means pride. We have broken Rahab in pieces as one who is slain. You have scattered your enemies with your mighty men. Also, it is used to refer Egypt. Psalm 89:10, Isaiah 51:9. Verse 5, and of a giant it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and Most High himself shall establish her. God would establish Zion or Jerusalem above the other places. Verse 6, the Lord will accord when he registers the people. This one was born there. The Book of Life mentions whose names written in the Book of Life. And anyone not found written in the Book of Life would cast into the lake of fire. Last verse 7, both the singers and the players on instruments say, all my springs are in you. The singers and instrument players together praise God as the root of our lives go down through from him. All over springs is in you. Every child of God is able to declare this glorious song. We covered all three questions, continue to keep on prayers, missionary reporting over there. So may God bless you. So Easter week, so enjoy resurrection life. God bless you. Let's just sing all together, Amazing Grace.